Morning. We have come here today to listen to God's word and praise God. So let us now lift our voices and call ourselves into an attitude of worship. In deep gratitude, we come to worship God.
We recognize God as the source of all goodness.
All good gifts come from the Spirit of God. We come with grateful hearts, not for things, but for who God is.
We gather to show our gratitude in song and prayer. Let us worship.
Our hymn is number 210, O God, our help in ages past. Please stand as you're able. Please remain standing as we confess who we are. We have been called to be Jesus' disciples, yet we don't always follow through on the work he gives us to do. Therefore, in sure and certain hope that our triune God is merciful to those who face themselves and God honestly, let us declare our brokenness with these words. We struggle to manifest the fruits of the Spirit, but often find ourselves bound by works of the flesh.
We know the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. To our neighbor as ourselves.
Yet we create vessels around ourselves to keep neighbors outside. To ourselves,
we have no responsibility.
Even in our own backyard, we bite and devour one another.
We wish it to be different.
Despite our resistance, we can be assured that God's strong arm redeems the people. God calls us back to God's realm and encourages us with a love we can never lose, no matter how hard we push back, no matter how often we forget, no matter how far we stray. We need but ask, and we are forgiven. May his peace be with you all.
Thank you.
Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. The gospel lesson today is from Luke, the 9th chapter, verses 51 to 62. It is on page 70 in the New Testament in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritan to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Thank you both. That was lovely. So our second reading today is actually from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. And I'm going to pick up in 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 19, and then later we'll hear the second part from 2 Kings. Listen now for God's word. So Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, Shaphat's son. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. Elisha was with the 12th yoke. Elijah met up with him and threw his coat on him, his mantle. Elisha immediately left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Elijah replied, "Go, I'm not holding you back." Elisha turned back from following Elijah, took the pair of oxen and slaughtered them. Then with equipment from the oxen, Elisha boiled the meat, gave it to the people, and they ate it. Then he got up, followed Elijah, and served him. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. A little bit of history today. In January 1848, a man named James Marshall happened upon a chunk of gold in the American River, northeast of where Sacramento is now located. That four-letter word brought over 300,000 people to California, all in a mad rush to follow the sirened sound of one word, gold! The already rich and the never-to-be-rich came from around the globe hoping to change their lives by finding the dull yellow metal. Gold can drive folks to sometimes irrational actions. They can become mesmerized by its gleam and drop whatever they're doing, along with whomever they're doing it with, and hightail it for the hills. Now that's a siren call for you. But calls don't always need to be seductive sirens for people to accept. Take Elisha. The author's words make the invitation to serve quite casual. Elijah simply places his mantle, his coat, over Elisha. And then Elisha takes time off before taking up his new role as a disciple. Now, while we're told of Peter, Andrew, James, and John's rapid responses to Jesus, the stories we're hearing today from Luke's gospel make it clear that not everyone was ready to drop everything and rush off to follow Jesus. Not everyone was ready to be a disciple. And to complicate their follow, not follow decisions, Jesus shares concerning words with the three men who are considering becoming his disciples. When the first man asks to walk with Jesus as Lord, his reply is basically, "Think twice, the journey isn't for the faint-hearted." And the second man says he wants to go bury his father before joining Jesus. His words almost echo what Elisha said when Elijah invites him to become his student. Both of these men want to care for their families first. Yet the stories move in very different directions. Now,
In almost every culture, honoring your family is a deeply rooted value, especially when it comes to saying goodbye. Elisha says he wants to kiss his father and mother farewell. But the man in Luke's story says he wants to bury his father. Sounds pretty serious. But in ancient Middle Eastern cultures, and in some modern day ones too, that statement is a polite way to say, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not going to go. So while we might interpret the statement as if the parent had already died, or is about to, such was probably not the case. The man was simply saying no to Jesus. And the third man's statement is also similar to Elisha's, but again, there's a difference. You get the feeling that Jesus doesn't believe that the man will ever follow. He thinks the guy is looking for an easy way out by looking behind. And that's when readers are reminded of the importance of looking ahead. Now, Dale would probably attest to the fact that if you want the greatest harvest from your land, you need to plow the rows as straight as possible. He's smiling. More seeds tend to get planted that way. You can't do that looking backwards. Just doesn't work. And farming is long, hard work for usually pretty modest returns. Unlike the get-rich-quick schemes held by the early gold stampeders. Elisha was also seeking an easy out. But what does the younger man do? He proves his intent by killing his oxen who are dragging his plow forward. And then he holds an ox roast to feed the entire community. In doing so, he's telling his family, I love you, but I need to move on. By killing his agricultural engine, he'd have no way to return to farm work, no way of looking back. Serious commitment, that. Elisha was determined to be the older man's absolute top student. He regularly did, as Elijah asked, until what turns out to be the end of the road for his mentor. So let's listen to the rest of this story from 2 Kings chapter 2. And again, I'm reading from Common English Bible. Now the Lord was going to take Elijah up to heaven in a windstorm. And Elijah and Elisha were leaving Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, because the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came out to Elisha. These prophets said to Elisha, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? And Elisha said, yeah, I know. Don't talk about it. Elijah said, Elisha, stay here because the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you live, I won't leave you. So they went to Jericho. The group of prophets from Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? And he said, yes, I know. Do not talk about it. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, because the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But Elisha said, As the Lord lives and as you lives, I will not leave you. So both of them went on together. 50 members from the group of prophets also went along, but they stood at a distance. Both Elijah and Elisha stood beside the Jordan River. Elijah then took his mantle, rolled it up, and hit the water. Then the water was divided in two. Both of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "What do you want me to do for you before I'm taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Let me have twice your spirit." Elijah said, "You've made a difficult request. If you can see me when I'm taken from you, then it will be yours. If you don't see me, it won't happen." They were walking along, talking, when suddenly a fiery chariot and fiery horses appeared and separated the two of them. Then Elijah went to heaven in a windstorm. Elisha was watching, and he cried out, "Oh, my father, my father! Israel's chariots and its riders." When he could no longer see him, Elijah took hold of his clothes and ripped them in two. Then Elisha picked up the mantle that had fallen from Elijah's shoulders. He went back and stood on the banks of the Jordan River. He took the mantle that had fallen from Elijah and hit the water, and he said, "Where is the Lord, Elijah's God?" When he hit the water, it divided in two. Then Elisha crossed over. Horses, chariots of fire, tornadoes sweeping a man into the heavens above. Maybe I've missed it, but this would make a terrific movie scene. But there's so much more than entertainment in this story. And through it all, Elisha behaves the way the disciple Peter claimed he would when Jesus foretold his crucifixion. Now, if you were here last week, you heard God promised Elijah that there were others who'd work to help Israel, that he was not alone. And today we see evidence of the truth of that promise. Not just Elisha, but bands of prophets who follow the two men as they walk from Gilgal to Bethel, to Jericho and on to the Jordan. And these prophets stand quietly by watching as Elijah uses his mantle. It's similar to how Moses had used his staff of authority on the waters of the Red Sea. Moses had lifted his staff and dry land appeared, and the Hebrew people crossed over to safety. And here, Elijah slaps the river with his mantle of authority so the two can cross into the wilderness, where a seismic shift will occur. The prophets seem to know what is about to happen. And while Elisha does too, he's not ready for it. He tells them to stop speaking of the event that will soon happen. He does not want to face reality. And even though Elijah keeps telling him to stay put, he persistently tags along. He pledges he will never leave his mentor. In a way, all four of their hands are on one plow. They're both holding on, both looking forward to whatever it is God has in store for them, difficult though it will be. Now remember, only the mentor and the student cross the river into the wilderness. And once there, Elisha asks his teacher to leave him, get this, an inheritance that was always reserved for the firstborn son. And in this case, it was the double share of that which is of the greatest value to the older man, his spirit. Elisha very much wants to serve God as faithfully as if he were Elijah's own son. Now, it isn't easy work. The pay is extremely low. Definitely not gold ore. But he believes he's ready to move from disciple to leader. This is a serious request. It's a deathbed request. And both men know that only God can answer the question. Then the young man watches as his friend, his teacher, his spiritual mentor, is lifted up in a chariot of fire. Even as Elijah's ascending, his mantle falls from his shoulders. This is the same mantle Elijah covered his head with when God came to him in that cave in the sheer silence. It's the same one which covered the young man's shoulders, sheltering him as he first heard God's call to discipleship. It's the same mantle that parted the water so they could pass over safely. At first, Elisha doesn't notice the cloak lying nearby. His grief is so strong, he's tearing his own clothes apart in agony. But soon enough, he sees it there, and he knows. He knows God is doing something new. Back in that cave, Elijah had accepted God's call to return to his prophetic work. And thereafter, he turned the people back to Yahweh after they'd strayed in worshiping Baal. And Elijah had also served God well as he witnessed the rise and the fall of Kings Ahab, Jehoshaphat, and Ahaziah, all of whom turned from the Lord, seeking to live by their own power. You know, gold. But that time is over. God is about to reorder Israel, and with that mantle, God is ordaining Elisha as the new prophet to God's children. This is the man who knew the difficulties of serving God, but still begged Elijah for a double portion of his spirit. And suddenly he's overwhelmed. He has no idea what it is God is going to do next in the world or for the Israelites. So as any thinking person would do in such a moment, he cries out for help. Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? We don't hear God's response. Instead, we watch as Elisha slaps the river with the mantle he has taken up. And just as it had for Elijah, the water parts. God is still with him, guiding him forward into a future this man cannot see. And he begins this new work, the work that God intends him to do for many, many years. So, mining gold in the mountains is a physically demanding life. Yet many, many people have run from families and jobs to respond to the siren call that maybe they'll become rich. Likewise, following God's call, following Jesus, is a demanding way to live. We often think we'll always serve as disciples in one particular way, and then something shifts. We don't know what God has in store for us next. God begins a new thing, and we feel like Elisha. Where are you, God? help. Most of us have not left families and jobs to follow Christ. But look around the world. Here in America, people of faith are becoming fewer and farther between. But in places like Korea, China, thousands discover Jesus every week. I want to insert that even up in Ashland, the presbytery has a young woman named Dolly, Lee Dong, and she is creating a church up there for the Chinese community, and people are being baptized very regularly. Many of them have faced incredible hardships to become Christ's disciples. They know that following the Son of Man means they might not have a safe place to sleep at night if they go back home. Still, many others will not rush madly to be disciples, let alone become prophets. But God has called us to somehow serve. Jesus is always beckoning us on, even when we haven't got a clue where he's guiding us and where we'll lay our heads at night. But as God guided Elisha back through the waters, God is guiding us, Jesus' followers, and God will be with us as we hold on to whatever plow is put into our hands. All we need to do is hold on and keep looking forward. Always keep looking forward. Our harvest will not be golden ore. We're not going to get rich quick. But it will be abundant and rich in its own way. That said, I wonder, what work, what service, what ministry is God calling you to right now? Now. How are you to express your commitment as Christ's disciple now? And how will you respond? Take a moment. Scribble something down on your bulletin if it comes to you. But think about it. And remember, no matter where God is calling you, to what service, God is with you always. Just keep looking forward. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 357. O Master, let me walk with thee.
remain standing as we affirm our faith. Let us respond to God's word by stating our faith. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. To judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us join our hearts and our minds in prayer. O holy God of healing and peace, we thank you for the beauty of this day, for life and health, for the cool of morning and the softness of evening, for rain and sun, for families and friends, for all you give us to sustain life, and most of all for Jesus, who died and rose again to make real the promise of new life. O Lord, you come to us, not in the roar of earthquake or firestone or hail, but in the sheer silence. And without always telling us exactly what we're to do, you invite us to serve your kingdom. Not knowing what's next makes us nervous. We worry we won't be able to do the tasks you give us. But then that is the greatest of all tasks, trusting that you will always be with us to guide us through the waters we face. Keep us facing forward, Lord. Help us. Help your church keep our hands on your plow so that your purpose for this world might be fulfilled. We ask you to encourage your people as we work to serve you. We ask this not just for ourselves, but for your people at the Perrysville and East Union, Pioneer and Buffalo churches, as well as our General Assembly, which is still meeting. We pray for the leaders of this country, be they elected to Congress, the White House, as county sheriff, or city mayor, or even appointed to the bench. Help them seek to provide for the good of all who share the blessings of living in this land. We pray, too, for the leaders of other countries. We are beginning to hear of famines taking hold and predictions that more and more people will go hungry in the coming months. Help leaders to find ways to peacefully overcome the difficulties the world faces, be they supply chain issues, energy provision, drought, or war. Lord, we lift up to you women and men across the country who are struggling with life-changing decisions and difficult situations. Whether they suffer from an inability to make ends meet or do not have adequate health care in times of crisis, feel estranged from their families and know not what they can do or how they will go on, we ask that you be with them. Guide them to choices that affirm wholeness and hope for all concerned. We pray, O Lord, for the children of this world who are born into terrifying conditions, wars and hurricanes, the disaster of poverty, the pain of abuse, or of simply being unwanted and unloved. Lord, please help them. Send caring adults to their aid, not just for a moment, but throughout their lives, so that they might have a realistic opportunity to live decent and healthy lives. And now we ask that you attend to the people we call brothers, sisters, parents, children, friends. Let them know your tender care and help them to know your love and that in you all is well. And hear our hearts as we silently name these your children who are in need. Gracious God, we are ever so thankful that you have created us, known us, and called us by name. So with the love of children, we ask you hear us now as we say the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In the love of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, each and every one of us has been called to service. Not just as we are children or young adults, but throughout our lives, God calls us to show our love of Christ by loving others. So I implore you, listen for God's call on your life now, today. Listen to the summons. Discern how best you can answer. And know that you always are to look forward, ahead, to slap your mantle down on that river so it can part and let you walk across. And that you will walk across with God, who is leading you and loving you each and every day of your lives. So go in the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the community that is the Holy Spirit that draws us all together. Amen and amen.